strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Ring. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
We know someone who's putting the big into Big Red Rage in more ways than one.
How's that, Bully?
Well, let's see. The player host the last 2 years, Big DJ Humphreys. Oh, boy. Coming off a big money contract. He signed the line that is dotted this week. And then he's got that money moment in life. One of those big moments in life. Tick tock.
Oh, no.
On his days as a bachelor, as he tracks towards wedding day 2020, DJ Humphreys, could there be a bigger week in his life other than the birth of his children? I mean, this has got to be it. In his power pole of life's moments, DJ Humphreys, this is your life. Think about this whole week and what it entails. And Ron Wolfley, I hope you know, you went and hit the gift registry. I hope you went. You know, I hope you were prepared. And
I have no idea what that is, Paulie. Well, but
for the wedding,
I'm sure
I hope
the warrior queen will get on that.
That's right. I got him the gravy boat.
Oh,
I got
okay,
it for
the gravy boat.
I got
okay,
him the gravy boat.
Bob.
Yeah. So there you go. Maybe what the candlesticks
great,
be good.
You know, honestly, back to your original point, right? What a great week it has been for DJ Humphreys right now. It's so awesome because now you get the big Brinks truck backed up, and you get that money dumped on you right there, just in time to actually start paying the wife's Gucci card, Paul.
Right.
What a beautiful symbiotic relationship it truly is.
The only thing missing was the hype man. The hype man on the megaphone and the Brinks truck. You know, it's the only thing missing. Maybe he'll come up to training camp. You know, he'll come up to that.
No, please, DJ, yeah. Do not do that. You do well, that. We all know we're in trouble when that happens.
Hey, if you go back to the first week of training camp, 2019, late July, A.Q. Shipley told us that he told DJ Humphreys, it's right there in front of you, young man. You have all the capabilities to be that franchise left tackle, to get that second big money contract as a first-round pick. And DJ Humphreys just did exactly that and fulfilled the expectation of an A.Q. Shipley.
You know, it's stunning about it, Bully, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to go into detail about this, but he's 26 years old. He's 26. This is a three-year contract. When he's done with this extension right here, he's still going to be 29 years old.
Mm.
Boy, that is good. Makes you want to be his agent, doesn't it?
Makes you want to talk to his offensive line coach, doesn't it?
Yes.
Sean Coogler, that's foreshadowing. You'll be our special guest on the Big Red Rage. Oh, Wolf, you're
the
already...
The segues are killing me.
No, you're geeking out already. Anytime you get to talk ball...
Oh, yeah.
...with a ball coach like Sean Coogler, the Cardinals O-line coach extraordinaire... who has connections going back generations in this game, a former Steelers offensive line coach. Before the Cardinals, he was the O-line coach in Denver, where Philip Lindsay became the first ever undrafted rookie to make a Pro Bowl and rush for 1,000 yards. I mean, this guy's resume is unbelievable.
All over the place. And Sean Coogler, not a better guy to talk about the blood sport with. Can't wait for that.
In fact, Cougs has a couple of wedding gifts to buy this weekend. Not only DJ Humphreys, but Mason Cole as well. As two of his guys are getting married this weekend on the O-line. We're just getting rolling. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Sean Coogler coming up. Up next, we'll hear from DJ Humphreys.
Huge hole. Great job by DJ Humphreys at the point.
The first thing I told him when I started doing a radio show, Big Red Rage, I was like, listen, I know this is a radio show, but now that I'm the host, we got to figure out how to get a camera out here because I'm way too fine for the radio. Hey, they got to put this smile on TV, baby. You know what I'm talking about? They're the moneymaker.
I love it.
There's nothing
yes,
like
it is, Paul.
DJ Humphrey's wired up. In fact, if you missed it, the Cardinals' official Twitter account or ACCardinals.com, they reposted it coming off his contract extension. It's stellar. It was an epic edition of Wired featuring DJ Humphrey's, just the dog that he is on the field, the personality he is on the bench, and yeah, I guess the helmet, you know, it does him a disservice. You know, such a good-looking guy like DJ Humphreys, the fact he has to wear a football helmet, yeah, it's not in his best interest.
That's, yeah, the smile he was talking about, right. That being the moneymaker, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
It was the feet and the butt that made you the money, Deej.
All right, so what did impress you the most about his 2019 campaign? We know it was a contract year, but he'd been dealing with injuries. He'd been dealing with immaturity the beginning of his career. He just played all 16 games, Ron Wolfley. He missed two snaps.
Yeah.
Two. He played over 1,000 snaps. He
yeah.
missed only two, and he gave up only two sacks.
So, Paulie, are you asking me the question?
I'm
or
asking
are you,
you the question.
My question.
No, what do you mean?
That's
I'm asking. I'm saying you're the analyst.
Me,
I'm setting you up.
You set it up right there perfectly. I mean, think about what you just said. 16 games he played in, right over 1,000 reps. He played and he gave up two sacks right there. That says it all about DJ Humphreys. And if you go back, Paulie, and you look at the tape, the first 4 weeks of the season, he was okay. He was okay, but he wasn't nearly as good, let's put it that way, as he was in the next 4 weeks. And then the next 4 weeks after that, and then finally finishing up the last 4 weeks of the season. He got better as the season went along. And to me, that spoke so much to the confidence, right? The confidence. Mm. And now he's wearing the brace and the ACL. It's not going to fly out his butt, right? It's going to hang in there. He didn't worry about his injury at all. And to me, that kind of confidence got him better as the season unfolded. And that's what got him a contract.
And that's what I was driving towards, just what you saw over the course of his entire season. And as he went, the Cardinals' run game went in a lot of ways, and it continued to get better. It continued to evolve. In fact,
no
it's
doubt.
All About You, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And when DJ Humphreys was talking to the media this week, he says he's far from finished.
I genuinely feel like I just figured out how to do it the right way. So I just came from the gym, and we're still, like, we're already planning for this next 36 months, trying to figure out how, like, maximize this. This is the first time you get to really, you've been healthy. You can show everybody. They saw it this season. Whether they wanted to acknowledge it or not, two sacks is two sacks. I play in the National Football League. So if you want to acknowledge it or not, that's on you. But all of my teammates know the work that I put into this thing. So the recipe is set. I just had to continue to just pound it and stay to my course.
Think about the division the Cardinals play in. You have to deal with the Niners defensive line
mm-hmm.
twice a year with four or five first-round picks. Think of all the money they have in those pass rushers in the defensive front. Think of that Ram-tough defensive front featuring Aaron Donald and company for the Rams. And then, of course, Seattle's front seven. That's what Pete Carroll is known for and the way they dial it up. It's critical that the Cardinals can secure that left tackle position, correct? That's why they just put an average of $15 million per year into DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, no, it is critical, Paulie. There's no doubt. But what I love about this is DJ Humphreys got better, as I was talking about, as the season went along. But as the season went along, we all know what was happening. The evolution of this offense going from 10 personnel, four wide, to actually running more Kansas City Chiefs and more Baltimore Ravens schemes with tight ends, whether it was 12 personnel, whether it was 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, 13 personnel, or one back, two tight ends, right? 11 personnel where we were using three wide receivers with one back and one tight end. That was the number one personnel group of the Arizona Cardinals. The number one personnel group by the end of the season was 11 personnel in rundown situation. And to see the maturation of this offense, guess who it impacted more than any other offensive lineman? It was DJ Humphreys. He got better. And the reason being is because of the dog that is in him. And when I say dog, what I mean by that, guys who enjoy playing the game in a dirty kind of way. And when I say dirty, I don't mean cheap shot. I mean getting dirty, getting down and getting after it and getting nasty at the point of attack. DJ Humphreys is that guy. So now all of a sudden, to not do that in the first four games, to not run the ball the way that they did later in the season, is to take away that dog out of them. And I think that impacted him in the first 4 weeks of the season. And then from that point on, man, the more and more the Arizona Cardinals ran the ball, the better left tackle he became.
In fact, if you go to that Wired segment where he was mic'd up for that game against Tampa, which was a bit of a personal game going against Bruce Arians and that staff, and him and B.A. had their conflicts early in his career, and we know
no
about that. And he was vocal about that mid-season. But you get a sense of D.J. Humphries, the personality that he is between the lines. We experience him here on the Big Red Rage. He's got the smile. He's got a great sense of humor.
Yep.
Very bright guy. Great interview. But, man, once that game starts, he
yes.
is an aggressor. He's not one of those offensive linemen who lets the defensive linemen get into him. He brings it. He comes off the ball and he goes after guys.
What's so fascinating about playing offensive line is look at so many of the offensive linemen that play it. They're placid. For the most part, these guys are these behemoths that are huge and they have great technique and they're very strong and they come off the ball, but they're always under control for the most part, right? I cannot tell you how many offensive linemen I've played with. The vast majority of offensive linemen that I played with, they weren't dogs, so to speak. They weren't going out there looking for fights. They were looking to do their job and remove you from the line of scrimmage and not say anything about it. Very, very quiet for the most part. This is where DJ Humphries breaks the mold, Paulie, because he's not quiet. When he plays, he's not quiet. He's not quiet in the huddle. He's not quiet after they break the huddle. He's not quiet when he gets to the line of scrimmage. I can't tell you how many guys I played with today where I have this great love for them and appreciation. Derek Kennard, who would break the huddle, walk to the line of scrimmage, and call out the guy across from him and tell him what he was going to do to him, and then do it. I got to tell you that.
That's some gumption right there. That's some gumption.
Paul, and that's DJ. He's got that dog in him, and I like that.
Yet for all that, and for everything the Cardinals did as an offense, and they did up front, and averaged a franchise record 5-plus yards per carry, there seems to be this perception nationally that the Cardinals' O-line is
yeah.
some sort of dumpster fire. That
right.
is this absolute liability. It's a misperception. And folks don't realize how difficult it was at times to block for Kyler Murray, who took a lot of sacks, especially early. He had 20 sacks taken by the end of the first month. He had that 8-sack game.
Don't know where he is.
Right. And, you know, a lot of those were on Kyler himself, as he later admitted. And people are just sleeping on the Cardinals' offensive line in all these mock drafts. They have the Cardinals using number 8 overall for an offensive tackle. That's not going to happen now.
Watch the tape.
We'll get an expert opinion, the inside opinion next. The offensive line coach, Sean Kugel, going to join us here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Johnson running right, has the first down easily.
Boy, what a good job at the point of attack right there. It seemed like DJ Humphries got a nice block.
DJ Humphries pumping his chest and his fist after the Cardinals move the sticks.
Yeah, DJ Humphries really has been a plus.
Gives to Johnson. Has a hole up the middle to the 35-yard line.
Huge hole. Great job by DJ Humphries at the point.
How about that? Cardinals Radio Network, Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, citing offensive line play. You got to like some of that on the Cardinals Radio Network.
You better believe it, Paulie.
And you got DJ Humphries, fresh off a 3-year contract extension, and quoting him loosely during his press conference this week after signing on a line that is dotted, he said he hasn't even had time yet to buy a steak with the new money. May we suggest Calvisi Consulting here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, that he needs to take a certain someone to that steakhouse and buy another steak for his offensive line coach, Sean Kugler, who joins us now on
Indeed.
The Big Red Rage. What do you think about the sounds of that, Cougs?
I'll take it. Steak 44, me and DJ.
You better believe it right now. You don't have one, do you, Cougs? You don't have a steak on you?
No, I don't. Not, my pockets are empty.
When you see him in front of the media, fresh off that contract extension, is there a bit of a parent in you? Are you a proud papa as an offensive line coach when one of your guys flourishes like that?
You know, coaching O-line in the NFL, you want all your guys to be successful, and you want to see them, you know, it's a very short-lived career for these guys, and you know, when they get a big contract and you know how much hard work they've put in, and, you know, you take even a guy like DJ that's just overcome a lot of injuries, and he's probably had a lot of heartache early in his career, and just to see him that excited, that happy, he's getting married this weekend, mm-hmm. you know, it's just got to be a great week for him.
Cougs, where do you think DJ has improved the most?
You know, I would say is attitude in the weight room, in the meeting room, and on the field work ethic. And, you know, really had a, you know, early in the year had a lot of heart-to-heart talks with DJ and just saw him progressively getting as it went on. And I really think probably about a quarter way through the season it really clicked. And then you saw confidence building with him and his work ethics improved and his meeting room habits improved and weight room habits improved. And, you know, he's kind of changed his lifestyle. You know, mm-hmm. You saw him, you know, he's lean, he's in shape. You know, he's doing the right things with his body. He's committed in the meeting room. And then but when he gets out on the practice field, he practices every day like he's preparing for the game. And we even have a day called DJ Focus Friday. Everybody knows it's DJ Focus Friday. And he kind of assumes the leadership of that day. And, you know, and it carries over into Sunday. And he sees that now. He sees the harder I work during the week, the better I'm going to play on Sunday. And he's taking pride in that. And I really think he's at the tip of his career going forward. You know, I think he's going to get better and better because he works at it. And the one thing about DJ, he loves playing. He's got a passion for football and his teammates. And guys like that are going to be successful.
You know, they never had Wedge Buster Wednesday. I don't know why, Paul. They never had Wedge Buster Wednesday.
Well, you know, he just recently turned 26. Think about that. Yeah. And he said only recently does he feel like he's figured it out. The NFL game. When you talk about some of those hard talks you had with him, what was the message you were trying to convey?
You know, that you have a very short, you know, shelf life as an NFL lineman. And, you know, you're at a point in your career where you can be one of these guys that was drafted high and is an afterthought, or you can be one of these guys that takes over his career and becomes a productive player for your organization. And I think he took that to heart and he's doing it. And, you know, I think it was a wise decision by our organization to re-sign him, and I think, again, he's going to take off. And he's a loyal cat. You know, he's a guy that's going to – I don't think it's going to be I got money in my pocket, I'm going to be a fat cat. I think he's going to be a guy like I finally got people that mm-hmm. believe in me and trust me. Now I'm going to go prove to these guys that they made the right decision.
Cooks, I think of the offense, the evolution of the offense, the first 4 weeks of the season, watching it, a lot of 10 personnel, right, and throw the ball, of course. And then the evolution from that point forward, how much did that benefit DJ? Because I see DJ as a dog,
yeah.
A guy that likes to come off the ball and run the ball. And the more tight ends we added to this offense,
yeah.
The better he seemed to play. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. You know,
do you agree with that, Coops?
Yeah, I think, you know, we just had to figure ourselves out, you know, what we did best. You know, and all the credit goes to Coach Kingsbury that, mm-hmm. you know, he's so open-minded and he's so creative and, you know, he really takes the input of everybody and we collectively, you know, I think just progressively got better as the season went on and part of that, you know, was the run game and the play action that built off of that and you're right, DJ flourishes in that style of play. He gets after people. He loves to compete. He loves to play physical and, you know, all of his attributes, you know, that's what I'm looking for in an offensive lineman. So the better he played, you know, I really just started endearing himself to me. I was just like, you know, I love
it. He's got a little something, doesn't he? I mean, there's something dripping out of the side of his neck from time to time, right?
To play with the energy that he plays with. And then you look in between series, he's out there dancing in the huddle. He truly enjoys himself all day long. He enjoys himself in the meetings. He enjoys himself on the field, you know. And, you know, where initially there had to be, you know, kind of a foot up his ass. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. You know, mm-hmm. he motivates himself, and that's – that's fun. That's just as fun as seeing a guy get a contract, seeing a guy develop like that.
Well, we know he enjoys playing for you. Here he is on Cardinals Cover 2 this week.
Cooks brought so much direction to our room. You know, and that's one thing I love about Cooks. He's an alpha. You know, he's an alpha in a room full of alphas, and he'll never tuck his tail. Never. He doesn't care who you are, how much money you make. You know, Cooks is going to stand on his. That's who he is. And that, for me, is like music to my ears. He's real. He's a real person, you know, and that's all I ever wanted. And then you add that to the way that he is as a teacher, the way that he takes his time, the way that he'll pull you to the side by yourself so he can make sure you understand this before we go to this drill.
You mentioned the O-line room. That's your domain, isn't it? Isn't that where you really connect with your players?
Yeah, I love it. You know, and it is the room. It's the chemistry of the room. It's really the most important part of offensive line play, you know, more than X's and O's, more than, you know, really talent. It's those guys coming together and believing they're a unit and playing for each other and not wanting to disappoint each other. And those guys really bought into that, you know, this year, and they played. And again, I think as the season went on, they played progressively better as a unit. They took pride, you know, in the run game. And you know, I think as a coach telling somebody where they stand and what they need to do to get better, you know, that's your number one job. And you just got to be truthful with these guys. And sometimes the truth hurts. You know, I know DJ got some truthful messages that probably hurt his ego at the time, but he took it to heart, and you know, and he's becoming the player he is.
Think about it, Wolf. You know this. By the end of the year, the Cardinals average a franchise record 5.03 yards per carry.
Yes.
Think about that. Think about in ESPN's pass block win rate, their analytics on NFL O-lines, the Cardinals rank number 10.
Right.
Think of that progress. Here's the GM, Steve Keim, talking about the O-line on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Sean Coogler has been fantastic for that room. Sean Coogler is, in my opinion, one of the best offensive line coaches in the National Football League. It certainly is the area where our team had probably the most improvement was the offensive line. Those guys played together. They stayed healthy. We ran the football effectively this year, and DJ Humphries was a big reason for that, and I think he played his best ball at the right time.
I'll freely admit, when the season started, I never foresaw the Arizona Cardinals running the ball 40 times for 253 yards at the Seattle Seahawks. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, that was a fun day, and to do it up there in that environment, you know, against a quality defense like that, but you know, these guys take pride in the run game, and they take pride in the preparation of the run game, and you know, the main thing that's always harped to them, you know, yards per carry is very important because it's kind of what you put out there on film. But, you know, eliminating negative plays. And I think, you know, they took a lot of pride in not having many negative plays. And that's the big thing. That, you know, that tells them that they're doing the right and putting the right hats on the right hats, finishing their blocks, not just turning guys loose in a hole and those type things. So it's an area, you know, we can improve on many areas. You know, sacks we need to improve upon this year. And again, I think, you know, that progressively got better as the season went on. And that's about learning about each other. And you know, I think with a quarterback like Kyler, you know, you can't have any clocks in your head. He's such a dynamic player, and he's always looking to extend plays and make plays down the field. And he's such a good scrambler that, you know, that clock can't go off in your head. And I think once we take that next step to realize – you know, there's no clocks. We're working until we see the ball thrown, not when we think the ball should be thrown. I think we'll make a lot more improvement.
You're probably going to hate me for saying this, Cooks.
Oh, boy.
How's that for a little
run
setup on this one? Why are you so good at what you do? Why? Do you coach hard? You do coach hard, don't you?
Yeah, I just love coaching. You know, but I've always loved coaching. I loved coaching when I coached high school football, when I coached college football. I just have a passion for coaching. It's something that motivates me. You know, I do it for no other reason than the guys and watching them.
You're really blunt with the guys.
Yeah, yeah. My wife gets on me because sometimes I'm so blunt with them. Then I come home and I'm blunt. She's like, you're not in the locker room talking to the players right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, you know.
That does have to be hard for you to turn that down.
Yeah, I don't usually, so I get in trouble.
But there's something about players' respect when you look them in the eye and you shoot them straight. I know a lot of players respected Cliff Kingsbury this year, at least listening to them for using three words, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is it players really buy into those two aspects of coaching?
Because they spot BS. You know, if you sit there and try to BS your way through something, they know you don't know. So, you know, there's several instances. You know what, guys? I ain't got the answer to that, but I'm going to get with Coach, or I'm going to get with Tom, or, you know, get with Sachs, and we'll have the answer for it before we hit the field, that's for sure. And they want to be told the truth. You know, guys want to get better. Guys want to work hard. Guys want to maximize their careers. And why would you not want to be told the truth? And I've always been truthful. And, you know, sometimes in my career that hasn't worked, you know. And I was a college head coach coaching younger guys. And I coach the same way, and I coach those guys the same way. And, you know, some of these guys look like
hair on fire.
Oh, right. And then the other group is looking at it, they're ready to cry. You know, you know, professional athletes, they need to be told the truth, and they want that. They don't want anything else.
How has football changed, if at all, on the line of scrimmage, Cougs in particular?
Yeah, I think the college game has changed the pro game, but as you're seeing, a lot of it's for the better, you know, and you know, a lot of things that you have to adapt to because, you know, some of these kids literally coming out of college have never been in the stands.
It's mind-numbing.
Wow.
I've worked with centers that have never had a snap exchange with the quarterback with his hands under his butt.
Like not even high school, right?
Yeah. No. And
incredible.
They don't know any better, and it's not the kid's fault. So when you're evaluating prospects, sometimes you got to project. You know, you can see a guy roll his hips, and you can see a guy snap off on combos, but you've never seen it because everything's, you know, outside zone, and they're just reaching or cutting off, and in the pass protections, they're running nakeds, and they're really not in the base protection and sliding mm-hmm. and doing all that stuff. So there's more projecting going on. That's what's changed on the offensive line part. You know, overall, I think the NFL, you know, the quarterback play, you know, the style of quarterback play, you know, the amount of receivers on the, you know, it's just, you know, progressing and changing.
You're
seeing more influences from the college game and schematically and you know, and coaches coaching that way, and, you know, and it changes.
Cardinals O-line coach Sean Kugler on the Big Red Rage. Did Kyler Murray buy you a scooter, by the way? Did you get a scooter as the O-line coach like the rest of the O-linemen?
No, I think I was too heavy at that point for him to get me a scooter. I was a little mad that I didn't get a scooter.
That's because you're walking around with stakes in your pocket.
I did not realize when you were an offensive lineman at UTEP as a player, a college player, your position coach was?
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. Think about
no
that.
No way. No, I didn't know that.
How happy, how proud of you were you for Andy Reid for getting that ring?
He's like a dad to me, and maybe the biggest influence of anybody on my career, because I always knew I wanted to be a coach, but after being coached by Andy Reid, I wanted to be the best coach. And a lot of the preparation that I use today with my own players is a lot of the preparation that he did teach me. And he was one of the best teachers I've ever been around and one of the best human beings I've ever been around.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate
you. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Coach. Back with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford after this.
Shotgun snap to Murray, and he's going to hand it off to Drake off the right side. Big hole, 30-yard line, 35, 40, 45, 50. Near side, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! An 80-yard touchdown run by Kenyon Drake.
Are you kidding me? Kenyon Drake off the right side of the line. A massive hole, and Kenyon Drake takes it to the house, baby.
253 yards rushing for the Arizona Cardinals on 40 carries. Think about the stat, Ron Wolfley. In the five wins the Cardinals had in 2019, in those five wins combined, the Cardinals rushed for over 1,000 yards and 12 rushing touchdowns. Think of how critical the rushing game was to the victory total in 2019 and how the Cardinals evolved as an offense, and what a driving force that Sean Kugler was, in the words of Cliff Kingsbury, in opening his eyes to a lot of aspects of the run game in the NFL.
By the way, 12 personnel, and both tight ends were lined up to the left. They ran away from that. So fascinating.
Yes, that's
one
right.
Back,
yep.
Two tight ends, and they ran to the weak side, and Kenyon Drake took it to the house. That play right there is the microcosm to the entire season for the Arizona Cardinals offense. It just shows you how much it developed, right? The ability to run the ball, the use of the tight ends, the balance between running the ball and throwing the ball, and Kenyon Drake, the incredible season that he had. All of it came together, and that one play, to me, was the microcosm of the entire second half of the season.
Did you see the smile that came over Sean Kugler's face? We just had a moment there to visit with him here on the Big Red Rage, the Cardinals O-line coach, when we cited that game.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing an O-line coach likes more than going on the road, silencing the loudest stadium in the league by running for 253 yards.
It's just really interesting talking to him as well, right? The pillars of the game remain the same. Running the football, you have to be able to run the ball in order to win games. I still believe that. Now listen, Paulie, I'm speaking in generalities, right? But how they're doing it, the how they're running the ball, how the pressure is being applied to the 7-man box or the 6-man box, depending on how many guys you have in there, or 8-man box, whatever it is, how they're doing it is what is changing. And it's changing drastically.
And they ran it different ways in different situations, didn't they?
Well, yes.
It wasn't a predictable run game.
No.
Because you think of that Seattle win. Think of how radically different the Cardinals' offense was in week four in the Seattle loss versus week 16 in the Seattle win.
They should have just not even looked at the first game.
You might as well throw it out.
Just not even watch it.
In fact, I sat down with Kenyon Drake at the end of the year, and he talked, and we spoke about that game. He said he went back to the week four game film. He's like, wait a minute, this was our offense? Because remember, he arrived in week six, week seven, and he didn't even, he said he didn't recognize the offense, and he didn't recognize Kyler Murray. That's how much both had evolved by midway to late in the season versus that week four loss against Seattle.
Yes, and also, too, just talking to Sean Coogler, right, the offensive line coach for the Arizona Cardinals. To me, just did you notice, Paulie, the pride that he had like a father? He is like, he takes, you know, the father figure that he is. He really enjoys his job and mentoring these young guys. The love that he has for his guys, right?
The love.
You don't always get that, Paul. You don't always get that from your position coach.
And you know what? It's the love he still has for Andy Reid. Andy Reid was his position coach when he was in college at UTEP. And he said a lot of his coaching methods and the way he approaches and deals with guys was the same manner in which he was treated by Andy Reid. So think of some of the best, you know, he got in terms of tutelage when he was a player. He still uses it. Think of what he's been doing with DJ Humphreys. That was a very intriguing, that he has DJ Focus Friday during the season where he allows DJ Humphreys to take over leadership of the O-line, the room. And I found that, and he agreed with you, by the way, where he said DJ started to click and really started to improve about a quarter of the way into the season.
What was going on a quarter of the way into the season, Paulie? I asked rhetorically.
Well, the offense evolved, and you saw more tight ends.
All of a sudden, you saw a little bit more 11 personnel. That was it. It was tight ends, the use of tight end play, and suddenly the Arizona Cardinals were balanced. They were more balanced running the ball and throwing the ball right there. Yeah, DJ got better, but I think a lot of it was because it woke him up a little bit, right? Because the dog, when you run the ball, it's going to appeal. Paul, I can tell you right now, you didn't throw the ball when I was in there, all right? All right, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I can tell you right now, we ran the ball. When I got into the game, we got into the I formation, and we started hammering people, right? It was a mentality. Offensive linemen that have that mentality, and DJ is one of those offensive linemen, they want to run the ball. They take great pride in coming off the ball and removing another man from the line of scrimmage against his will.
The big question, who is going to run the ball for the Arizona Cardinals in 2020? As we know, Kenyon Drake tracking towards free agency.
Man, do I want him back. I do. I really want him back, Paul. I want Kenyon Drake back, but I'm just wondering at what price.
What exactly is going to be the dollar figure? Is it going to be a wise investment or not? David Johnson still under contract, still guaranteed eight figures in 2020. And with that in mind, Steve Keim told you on the Doug and Wolf Show during Newsmakers Week on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports.
Cutting him is not an option. Not only the cap hit, but you're still paying the cash as well. You know, it wouldn't be responsible for me or the organization to do that. But if David Johnson isn't a starter, he still has a significant role. The guy still creates big-time mismatches in the passing game. He still brings kick return ability. There's a number of things, and you can't have just one back.
You were sitting there interviewing him. Based on what we just heard, it sounds like David Johnson is going to be a member of the Arizona Cardinals this coming season.
You know what, Paulie? I honestly don't know. I don't know anything. To me, I think it could be a 50-50 split, Paul. I look at it this way. Listen, the offense, I don't know if it's tailored to David Johnson. And that's the one thing against him. I think David needs to be in a more definitive offense. This is just me, Paul. 50-50. Either way here with David Johnson. But I look at it, Paul, and if you told me that they pulled off a trade for him, the one thing they're not going to do is have a fire sale. They're not going to do it.
And that might have been Steve Keim's message to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And the 31 other general managers.
They're not going to trade him.
I'm not giving him away.
No, they're not going to do it.
So
no way.
Make me a
substitute
offer.
And that's why I say
it's
50-50. But I think they're going to get, Paul, I do. I think they're going to get offers. I do. It's just me. I don't know if David Johnson is a good fit for the offense. That's all I'm saying.
All it takes is one other team to agree with you, to agree with Carson Palmer, that perhaps the problem plaguing David Johnson this past season was just a poor fit. That's all it takes is one team to be of the opinion that it wasn't necessarily the player, It was the system. If we bring that player into our system, he might be the player he once was.
He needs to get into an offense where he knows definitively he's going to get the ball. Unless they call an audible on the line of scrimmage, he's going to get the ball. I think the RPO thing, the zone read thing, I think it messes with his head a little. I don't know. It's just me.
All right, we'll continue. We'll come back. We'll talk more about what Sean Kugler told us and how that applies to Kyler Murray when we come back in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Here comes Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft and the future of the franchise, takes the field for the first time.
That is a great throw, a great read by Kyler Murray. Boy, you could just see it. Kyler Murray and the confidence started to grow.
Murray rolls to the right, throws near side, defense caught, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Some Murray magic for Arizona. They have seen the Heisman Trophy winner, a winner his whole life, the leadership skills, backing it up with his play.
Which hashtag do you like better? Come for the arm, stay for the legs, or I don't play to be mediocre?
I like this one. Hashtag 16. He played in all 16. Do you remember that, Paulie? All the talk about Kyler Murray. He's 5'10". He's 5'10". Are you kidding me? He's this wee man who's going to get hurt. Went out there and listen, I will tell you right now, the fact that he played in that 16th game, it mattered to me. It did, and it mattered to his teammates as well.
The slander against the diminutive Americans out there here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And you're right, Larry cited it. A lot of guys cited it after that season finale in L.A., the L.A. Coliseum against the Rams, that he didn't have to do that, but he did do that. And that was meaningful because that's the NFL. And even Kyler came to that realization when he told the media that no one is perfectly healthy in week 17. That's part of being a professional, is if you can play and you can deal with the pain, then you need to play.
And as you just heard with that cut, that rejoin right there, right? Are you kidding me? For him to do what he did in his very first NFL game, it speaks volumes to me, Paul. Are you kidding me? Here's the number one pick overall in the draft. He's too small. All the talk, all offseason, you were there. You had a front row seat. You heard what everyone was saying. All of the pressure and the expectation that was heaped down on him. And suddenly he finds himself down 18 points in his very first NFL game going into the fourth quarter. And what does he do? He plays his best when they needed it the most and brought him back and tied the game up. For 18 points in the fourth quarter to tie the game up. Are you kidding me?
Think of the ball security as a rookie quarterback. Unheard of in so many different ways. He went nearly six straight games without an interception, for example. He only lost two fumbles on the season, neither of which was his fault in the season finale against the LA Rams.
Yeah, right.
As a comparison, the quarterback taken out after
him.
He had
no fumbles. He had none.
Daniel Jones had 11 lost fumbles. It could have been actually 12 in the final records. He had 16 fumbles. A dozen of them were lost. Think about it as a comparison, the rookie quarterback taken after him.
And honestly, I don't know how many of those I could look at Daniel Jones. I didn't see every fumble of Daniel Jones and say that shouldn't have been on him. What I do know is this. Kyler Murray shouldn't have had any fumbles put on him. Those were just awful scorers.
Think about what Sean Kugler told us during this edition of the Big Red Rage, that the offensive line had to learn their rookie quarterback. That they had to learn that, in his words, that you can't have a clock in your head as an offensive lineman. You have to continue to block and work until you see the ball thrown. Not when you think the ball should be thrown, but when you see the ball thrown, because he breaks the mold from so many traditional quarterbacks that he can extend a play, then instead of a ball being out in 2 or 3 seconds, he's still on the run and scrambling and keeping his eyes downfield 5, 6, 7 seconds after the ball is snapped.
I really think this is going to be a prerequisite to playing quarterback in the National Football League in another 3 or 5 years. I think it's going to be a prerequisite. You're going to have to be able to run. You're going to have to be able to extend plays. You're going to have to be able to be a guy that is going to run the zone read and might actually hold on to it and go around the corner. You're going to have to be this guy because of what it does to the box. We had the opportunity to just hang out and talk to Sean Kugler a little bit, the X's and O's after we actually talked to him, right? Had the opportunity, and What was he telling us about that right there, right?
What Kyler does to Nick Bosa, for example.
What he does to the front seven, period, right? He hung around a little bit after. That was cool. What he does to the front seven, I think that's going to be a prerequisite for every quarterback that comes into the NFL as we unfold.
Chase Edmonds told it to us in August that he considers Kyler Murray an extra blocker because the defensive front has to worry about and consider and guard against the run, and so guys can't crash the edges.
Can't do it.
And it just makes the run game so much more effective. That's only one aspect of his game. Steve Keim on with you, 98.7 FM, and DJ Humphries this week talking about the excitement surrounding the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
It's a quarterback-driven league, and all signs point in the direction that we have a franchise quarterback and a guy that we can continue to build around. And so that part of it is very exciting for me, and hopefully it's exciting for our fan base.
It's funny to see somebody who's been on the pedestal for so long be so hungry and so eager to win and so eager to be the best. It's infectious, especially when you're so young, because there's energy with it. And it's infectious, and I feel like our whole offense feeds off of it.
So if he has the skill set, and we know he most definitely does, and then he has that mindset where he's that competitive, where he is truly hungry, where he said, and I quoted it earlier, when he said in December, I don't play to be mediocre. If he has that sort of drive and that sort of competitive DNA, then to me, look out.
Can I tell you right now, the fact that he's 5'10", 207, the fact that he is diminutive, the fact that people look at him and think, he's that competitive, and he's the smallest guy almost every Sunday on the field. Can I tell you, Paul, that actually works in his favor in his own locker room with his own teammates when they look at him and think, this guy's a baller. He's the most competitive guy. It's kind of like the honey badger effect.
Yeah.
All right? The badger had so much respect and regard from his teammates because he wasn't a big guy. The same thing can be said for Kyler Murray. He's breaking the mold, Paul. Breaking the mold.
What Larry told us in the Big Red Rage in December, that defensive coordinators on numerous occasions came up to him after games and said, hey, that kid's going to be special.
That kid could play.
It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Well, you're the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. that comes from Vegas.
They gotta put somebody as a favorite. In the 2019 AP Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
And you know what? It felt like a star was born.
I really think a year from now we're gonna talk about Kyler Murray.
You know, I give him all of this game. I give him all to my teammates.
You know, he was kind of a bit of a loner when he got here. I think where he's grown the most is with his teammates.
You know, to the Red Sea, I know this wasn't, you know, the season that we had hoped for.
Damn, bro.
But I want to say thank you for always being there for us. To my family, so I just want to say I love you guys. You know, y'all mean the world to me.
All I want to do is see him walk off the field at the end of the game.
They're going to have a hard time stopping us, all right? Way to fight.
There was no grace period for Kyler. He came in and he was the guy from the moment he stepped foot in this building.
And they got you as 5'10", they lied. 6'1".
Kyler, you know, leads in his own way.
Yeah, run that again.
When he speaks up, people listen.
Who wants a rah-rah quarterback? He can have it. I want a guy that leads by example. I want a guy that makes plays.
I guess you could say, yeah, that's, you know, that's me.
It's so exciting to see, you know, Kyler do what he does.
Yeah, K1.
You know, the itch to be the greatest, you know, kind of, it keeps me going.
I think his jump from year one, though, to year two is going to be incredible.
Let's go! Ah! Hell yeah! Let's go!
Tick, tock, Ron Wolfley. Not only the future of football right there, Kyler Murray, we are talking about Flight Plan. It is going to drop. It is going to debut Season 3, Episode 1 on March 5th. It is titled, aptly enough, The Evolution of Kyler Murray. Get ready for that.
You called it, Paulie.
There's going to be some great all-access stuff that you have not seen nor heard. You heard Larry a little bit there. Guys talking about the growth, yes, indeed, the evolution of Kyler from the draft and early in the season. And I can confirm that just based on the locker room. He was a guy who sort of kept to himself. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Some of that was by design. And as he shared later, and you know this, Wolf, better than anyone, and you speak of this, the importance of this, before you can lead, you must establish that
no
you
doubt.
Can play.
No doubt.
And he was smart enough, had the football sense to know, I better prove it to this locker room before I lead this locker room.
No doubt about it, Paulie. You're right on it, because you're right. Kyler Murray was quiet early on as the season evolved. And as he evolved as a quarterback, now all of a sudden you heard him a little bit more vocal. So much so, and again, I don't want to get into the particulars, but so much so, I had the opportunity to actually listen to some of the mic'd up sessions.
Some of the footage.
Exactly. Some of the footage, not only of in a game, but also in practice. And to hear some of the things he would say in practice as the season evolved, right? That, to me, told me everything I need to know. He's developing as a leader. Mm. And that's where the biggest jump is going to be for Kyler Murray.
Think about this offseason. Not only the anticipation of what's going to happen with him from year one to year two. Hit zoom out. The organization, the GM Steve Keim, for the first time in his career, doesn't have to worry about the quarterback position.
Yes.
Now you can fill in all the other holes on this roster. You have a future franchise quarterback for the next decade.
It's why team building is so much easier when you have that guy, because now you even know what kind of offense you want to run and what kind of players you need to surround him with.
Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahundro, Mitch Veraldis, Sean Kugler joining us on this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Next week, the Combine. How about that? Ron Wolfley's going to break down the three-cone drill. It's going to be in primetime this year.
Make fullbacks great again.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.